before him. He had Christ before his soul. And though he is blind as to his natural eyes, he had vision. Dear young people, do you have vision this afternoon? Do you have Christ before your eyes? Or do you allow yourself to be occupied with everything about you? You know, you have a vessel. The moment you're born again, you have a container that is supposed to contain the water of the Word of God. And that water will be turned into wine in time by God Himself, which speaks, of course, of joy. Joys that belong to another world entirely. Now, if you fill that vessel with all kinds of things here, you're not going to have that joy in your pathway down here. And so, if we get occupied with everything and anything here, we'll soon lose our vision. We'll soon lose our joy of heavenly things. Now, Isaac, his history is recorded in a very short space, and yet he was a picture to us of the heavenly man. He had all the promises. It takes many chapters to record Abraham's life, and it's profitable to notice every detail. It's profitable, too, to notice this chapter in detail. But we find at the beginning of his life, that is, at this time at least in his life, there was a famine like there had been in the days of Abraham. It's sad to say, isn't it, that some of us who are fathers have taken wrong steps, and so our children are liable to take them too. And that's just what happened here. Abraham had gone down to Egypt, and now there was a tendency for Isaac to go to Egypt. But the Lord intercepts it in the days of famine, and he says, don't go down into Egypt. And perhaps he's speaking to you, dear young people, this afternoon. Don't go down into Egypt. What is Egypt? Well, it's a picture of this world in independence of God. Have you started out on an independent course? Or you say, I'm at the Lord's table. I'm a Christian. But I say, have you started out on an independent course? Well, that leads you right into the world. And before long, you'll find yourself in the world in one way or another. No, that isn't the path for a Christian. Dependence. Dependence upon God and the Word of God and the instruction we receive from the Word of God. Now, perhaps it would have been nice if Isaac had learned from his father's mistakes. Well, the Lord says, don't go down into Egypt. But he does go down to the land of the Philistines. Now, that's not a good place for the Christian either, because that's really the religious world. And if you were to trace the river where Gerar is, you'll find that it never leads to Hebron. Hebron means communion. Because Isaac, as well as his father, had to retrace that river down till he reached the main river, and then he made his way up to Hebron. He'd taken the wrong tributary. And he was on his way to religious world bordering. And as long as he was in that country, he never had peace. Oh, he had prosperity, but he never had peace. Now, you and I want the fruit of righteousness, don't we, dear young people? There's a day coming when we're going to stand at the great white throne, and God is going to reward faithfulness down here. But we are told in the book of James, the fruit of righteousness in peace is sown for those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness in peace, is that what you want? Is sown for them that make peace. But don't make peace on any terms. We'll see that peace was made in this chapter, but it wasn't made on the enemy's terms. God preserved his servant, and he led him on little by little. But he didn't have peace while he was in the Philistines' land. We'll notice here that many things happen when we get into the wrong place. In the first place, God appeared unto him to warn him. He appears unto him later. But it's interesting to notice that when God appears to him, he tells him about all the good he's going to give him. Isn't that wonderful? He did the same to David before David numbered the people. He told him about his house for a long time to come. And that's what sustained David when he was in trouble. Because without vision, the people will perish. And so God sustains his people by his word. And he causes us to go back from time to time to his word that we might be sustained. And so God tells him about all the promises and how that he was the one who was to carry these on. What a wonderful privilege. Now, how about this point? Are you one who has been given the testimony of God? Do you feel any responsibility in regard to it? Surely there is. Marvelous privilege. But do you feel a responsibility in regard to the truth of God? Oh, you say, well, I'm not one to speak. No, but your ways will indicate where you are. Your ways will tell you whether you're walking in the truth or not. And that's what the Spirit of God would bring before us here. You say you're a heavenly person? You belong to Christ? How about our ways? Are they heavenly ways? Are we living among those who would like a religion for this earth? Or are we living among those who are enjoying heavenly things? Well, if we're to enjoy heavenly things, we'll have to have a heavenly object, won't we? And that's Christ. And so, the vision is put before him. The future is put before him, but he doesn't seem to realize it all at once. And so it is with ourselves. But we find that as he makes his way in this land, in the sixth verse, he dwelt at Gerar. He just settled down and lived there. Something like Lot, you know, in Sodom. Of course, it wasn't the same, but it's something on the same principle. He just settled down there. He was in the land, yes, but he wasn't in the land where he was supposed to be. Because if you'll read carefully, you'll see that Abraham had made an oath with these people, and there had been a division between the portion that Abraham had and the portion that the Philistines had. There was a straight line cut. And that was at Beersheba, the well of the oath. And until Isaac gets back to Beersheba, he'll never have peace. He'll always have problems. Oh, he might prosper, but he'll never have peace. And so we notice also, when he settles down there, he gets a bad conscience. He tells a lie. Wasn't this Rebekah his sister? Well, you know the word sister was used for cousin in those days, I believe. She was a relative, all right, but she was his wife, and he denied his wife. He denied that she was his wife because he was afraid. You know, perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. Why was he afraid? He wasn't in the place of God's appointment. He was walking among those who didn't value heavenly things. We're using the type now. And so he was afraid. He had lost a sense of this vision that we speak of. The blessed hope that the Christian has. All that lies before him. He'd lost a sense of it in his soul. And he has to be rebuked by Abimelech. You know, that's too bad when the world has to rebuke us. Sometimes we find it so. Now, now we notice in the 11th verse, the 12th verse of the 26th chapter of Genesis. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Now, I want to ask the question, because the Lord blessed him, would that be a sign that he should stay there? Many take it that way. You know what that is? That's just walking by sight, not by faith. If you find the Lord blessing you in your circumstances, don't take that as a sign that you're where you're supposed to be. No one who walks by faith uses the word of God for his guide, not circumstances. Oh, the tremendous prosperity in that land. And it might be so. It might be that we can just step aside a little bit and compromise just a little bit in a religious way with the enemy, and our circumstances will be better. But no, that won't do. And so he doesn't have peace. He doesn't have peace. The man waxed great and went forward. Sounds good, doesn't it? He grew until he became very great. Very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Are you in a position this afternoon, dear fellow Christian, whoever you are, where the world envies you as to natural things? You're in a bad spot, and you'll never have peace in that position. Is it proper for a heavenly man to be in a position where the world envies them, desires what they have in a natural way? No, that isn't right. Oh, how these words speak to our consciences that we have here. The Philistines envied him. God had prospered him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. All the sources of refreshment that Abraham had in that land, the Philistines had filled them with earth. Now, you know, earth is very significant, isn't it? Just the very word earth. That's what characterizes what's around us, even in the religious world. Everything that belongs to this earth, that isn't heaven, is it? And so we find that it takes energy to unstop those wells again. And though you and I have been brought up with under special privileges, and we have just sort of allowed the present things to fill up the wells because the Philistines were more or less over us, it takes energy to dig it all out again. And to take advantage of the wells that our fathers have dug for us. What are they? Oh, think of all the books that have been left us. The truth that's been searched out for us. Are you reading it? Are you availing yourselves of it? And you notice he gave them the same names as they had before. The names that his father gave them. We're living in a day that's given to change. But let's change this and let's change that. Dear young people, don't do it. Keep the same names that your fathers had as to heavenly things. We find that today there are many new things brought in. New translations, if you please, that are translated by men who may be good scholars, but they're not spiritual men. They don't know what it is to have Christ as the object of their hearts. And you'll never get a true translation from that source. It might be different, but it isn't a true translation. So now it says, "And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." Go from us. Abimelech doesn't want him there. It's a good thing, isn't it? You know, if we leave the world, we can always go back. But it's a good thing when God orders things so that we're driven out of it. And he does sometimes, drives us right out of it. No way back. Well, this was the case with Isaac. Now it says here, and Isaac, the 17th verse, pitched his tent in the valleys of Gerar and dwelt there. He just moves on a little way, that's all. He doesn't leave the land. He just moves on just a little way further. And now he digs a well, and he found springing water. Wonderful, isn't it? Living water. But he found it in the wrong place. The wrong place. A place his father had left long ago. And he had gone to Beersheba, and he established a line. And he left that part for the Philistines. And the other was his own territory. And the part that Abraham chose was the Valley of Eshcol. You know about that. With Eshcol's grapes, all the joy that it suggests, that huge bunch of grapes that was brought in by the spies when they went in to search the land, shown to the children of Israel as evidence of God's bringing them to a good land, is that very valley of Eshcol. And that very valley, as it goes up to the headwaters, leads to Hebron, communion, Mamre, the place of fatness and blessing. That was the way to go. But oh, how slow Isaac was to leave this place. Now we notice that they're striving. The men of Gerar strove, and they wanted that well. And then he digs another well. It's called hatred. Now they hate him. Getting worse for him, isn't it? Wonderful thing, isn't it, that God gives us to feel this in this world and drives us out. From this world, in our experiences here as believers. And so he comes finally to Rehoboth, or a place where there's room. But I suppose by now, from what I gather of this passage, that Isaac has had enough. He wants peace. And he's so close to Beersheba that he says, I'm going over where I belong. And so he leaves this place, Rehoboth, and he leaves it all to the Philistines. You can have it all, he says. And he goes to Beersheba, the well of the oath. And you know something? God came to him that night, that very same night, and he revealed himself to him. And he cheered his heart. Is that what you want? I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Did he have a sense of God's presence all through this experience in the enemy's land? I don't think so. Was it worth it? Well, sometimes we pass through these things and have to learn them, but really, it isn't worth it, is it? Oh, what a wonderful thing to have a sense of God's presence with us. Oh, what a real thing this is. Especially when we pass through trial and difficulty. But at all times, we'll bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now notice, 25th verse, the three things that are brought together here. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Three things. He built an altar. Do you have an altar? It's a place of approach to God. I don't read of any altar previous to this. Do you? No, there can't really be a real good altar unless there's peace. And there was no peace. In all the experiences he passes through, there's no peace. And he doesn't even carry a good conscience part of the time. But now he's back at Beersheba. He's in the land, the very part that God intended him to be in. And now he has an altar. And beside the altar, he has a tent. Simple habits. A simple life. Simple tastes. Not that which belongs to the world that is seeking something here as an object because the Christian has everything in Christ. He has a tent. It suggests the simplicity of the Christian life as a pilgrim down here. And we're living in a day when the whole world is going after pleasure and the things that the natural heart and mind can be taken up with. And it's in this, beloved, that you and I can be a testimony by living a simple life. Simple habits, simple dress, simple customs, simple taste. That's a pilgrim. Well, Isaac arrives here. And now what happens? Isaac's servants digged a well. It doesn't say anything about his telling them to, but they digged a well. It doesn't say he got water yet. But they digged a well. They digged a well. They're searching now for something to refresh them. You know, sometimes the digging of the well is, speaking spiritually, is very helpful, just the digging of the well. Did you ever try to look for a certain scripture and you found a dozen others that you never thought were in the Bible? Well, that's you're digging a well, you know. You're digging after refreshment. And that's true of the Scriptures. You can get real blessing just following one word through the Scriptures. So they dug a well, and now what happens? Here comes the enemy. Here comes the people of the land where he'd lived so long that had driven him out, hated him. And what are they going to do? Well, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Could Isaac make this peace? Never. Didn't God say, I'll be with thee and bless thee? But he told him after he got back to where he belonged. Oh, what a happy thing it is, dear young people, to be where we belong. You know what God had to say to Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? A long way from the mission that God had sent him on. And isn't it good to take stock this afternoon as to where we are in our souls? Are we seeking the interests of the Lord Jesus himself? Are we occupied with heavenly things? And are we in the place that he wants us? Both as to the place where we gather to his precious name, but also in the place each day where he wants us. seeking to walk according to His Word, in separation from all that's evil and especially what's religious in this world. Because that's the way the enemy traps our souls. He would occupy us with what's religious, but of the world. And one more thing. He wants to bring in among us those things which belong to the Philistines if he can. Let's not let him do that. Let's keep the old names that our fathers had. And so we find the enemy comes now, he wants to make peace. Why, he says, you hated me, why are you coming? Oh, they said, we've seen that the Lord is with you. Now there's a testimony. Was there any testimony down in the land? No, they envied him when he prospered. But now they see the Lord is with him. Oh, you say, well, I can be more of a testimony here or there. Can you? What is a testimony in God's eyes? It's a result of communion, nothing less. And communion is only walking in dependence and obedience, having the same thoughts with God of His own beloved Son. And it's on that ground that we are a witness and testimony in this world. It's only this, dear young people, that will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And now you'll notice that, in closing, it says in the 31st verse, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now he has peace. And then what happens? The well comes in. The well comes in. The well they've been digging, they struck water. That's refreshment. Peace. Fruit of righteousness in peace, sown for them that make peace. Well, he was willing to make peace with his enemies. Now that he was in the land, he could make peace with them in a right way. He couldn't before. And then one more note. We haven't time to go into it because our time is up. But in the end of the previous chapter, we see that his two sons had made a choice. Jacob and Esau. One had made a good choice, and the other had made a bad choice. One had, although he hadn't done it in the right way, he valued the birthright. What does that mean? Well, in simple terms, it means to take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That's what it means. But Esau despised the birthright. He sold his birthright for a kettle of lentils, beans, red beans. He sold his eternal portion for a kettle of red beans. Well, you say, that's terrible. It is. But dear young people, I wonder if there's one here that's selling for less than that. If you've never taken Christ as your Savior, you'll never find anything in this world that'll satisfy your soul, and you won't be ready for the next. And at the end of this chapter, the last verse now, you'll see that there were things that became a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah because their son married way off among the heathen. Heathen. I wonder sometimes if it isn't a good thing for us to be warned when we're young of what might take place when we're careless in our ways before our children. Because of the results that we see here. And David says, you know, to his brother, is there not a cause? May God warn us then, in these passages, not to be careless as fathers and mothers. There are many young people here are starting homes. Don't be careless in your ways. It's going to come out somewhere. It's going to show itself as it did here. And this heavenly man, Isaac, didn't show much energy in heavenly things. And you are a heavenly man, too. Are you showing real energy in spiritual things? What about the Queen of Sheba? As she steps down from that throne, that heathen queen, and she goes across those desert sands for possibly 1,200 miles just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Took real energy. And how about ourselves? Is there that energy of the Spirit that prompts us each day? There should be. Well, may God then give us to realize from these passages how important it is when we profess that we're a heavenly people, dear young people, to walk according to the truth that's given us and the place that's been appointed us to His glory.